Man. You know, it's real funny. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny. How God works in such ways to where my maturity level has gone up in the sense of knowing there's a time to draw the net and there's a time that you have to wait. And she just wasn't ready. And she said, you're going to have to teach me. So it took 2 weeks because that's all I knew. I gave her everything I knew in the first 2 weeks. But it was so exciting from my memory that she just looked at me one day. She goes, I'm ready. I want to do this. And, sometimes God has to work in spite of people. You know, I'm not the hero here, guys. Trust me. God is. And I have to keep reminding myself of that, that I'm not the hero here. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all that God does. Continue to pray for our office. We have several couples coming in new this week. God's just doing some good things there. We're in 1 Peter, and we're getting to the point in 1 Peter chapter 3 where he begins to talk about the roles and responsibilities of husband and wife. So here's what we're doing. I promise you I'm going to be here the next 4 weeks. We've taken a little time away. Andrew preached last week, so we went down to hear him preach. I'll share this with you off the record. Hang on a minute.
We went to court, and the judge basically threw everything out because there was no legal precedent for what she was asking for. Matter of fact, I think he thinks that there was something deeply emotionally wrong with her because he didn't even charge her court costs and just, you know, threw it out. So my record stays in place, 39 arrests, no convictions.
Someone once said this. They said, marriage is a great institution if you like institutions. Being married and becoming what you need to become in marriage is what?
Hard work.
It is hard work. It takes trying or training?
Training.
It's teamwork. It's being faithful. Watch this. It's learning to be faithful in the little things that you have to do in marriage. Okay? Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won without words by the behavior of their wife.
Without words? Is that what you
mean? Here's Peter. Winking, you know, without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your life. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair or the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second and throw something in here. The context of this was there was a lot of idol worship at that time where the gold stuff and the braided hair and everything else was really geared toward idol worship of really what the Romans and what they believe. It had nothing really to do that says women shouldn't wear gold and women should not have braided hair. It's really not talking about that. It's just talking about the context of that day, of that day. I reminded Lynette, you know, on Jesus' birthday, he only got 3 presents. And she reminded me one was gold. Now, instead, it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. In other words, beauty on the inside trumps beauty on the outside. Okay? For ladies, let me throw this in here. If you don't get it in your head that you are wonderfully made by God, that he what, Kenny, made you what? On purpose for a purpose. Then you know what? Everyone else is going to dictate to you what beauty looks like and what you should look like, instead of you understanding that the girl that shares, that faces you in the mirror, can't see inside your heart, so I wouldn't be listening to everything she has to say to you. Let me take it further. They were submissive to her own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master.
Can you repeat that again?
He called her her master. You got to understand the Greek there, okay? Here's what the Greek means when he says called her her master. You ready? It ain't happening. That's the Greek. You are her daughters if you do what is right and you don't give way to fear. Husbands, well, we'll skip that. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. When it's talking weaker partner there, it's talking about a physical weakness, not an emotional or a spiritual weakness. As treat them as heirs with you, as a gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So that tells me something. If you don't respect your wife, and you're not treating her as an heir, and you're not gracious to her in life, you know what? God's not listening to what you have to say. God's not going to listen to what you have to say until you start doing what it is God's telling you to do. You with me? Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult for insult. Okay, in the Amplified, it says this: do not repay evil or insult for insult. That's tongue lashing, or berating. That's what it's talking about here. Okay, but the blessings, because this is what you recall. So what he's telling you here is, when people are mean and ugly to you, respond by giving back a blessing to them. Don't return evil for evil. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are attentive to his prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Chuck, Kim, how long have we been doing this class? I got it at about 13 years. It's about 13 years, okay? So here's what I'm going to say to you. We started this class 13 years ago, and I decided when I came in here, what I wanted to do was teach the Word of God through books, verse by verse, as best I could. What I didn't want to do was come in here and teach on marriage. Why? It's what I do all day. You know what I mean? So I just didn't want to come in and teach on marriage. Well, 13 years later, you know, Peter reveals to us some principles about marriage that we just really need to delve into. So we're going to do a series called Wedlock and Deadlock for the next 4 weeks. Next 4 weeks. Now, Brother Harry, what about us single people? Okay, let me say this to you. Pay attention. You may not marry the wrong person. Pay attention, because God may be using this to prepare you for whatever it is God wants and has for you later on. It also is a thing where we all learn this one thing together. And this is the key to what we're going to teach. You've got to be willing to become the person you're asking God to send you. Or you're going to have to be willing to become the person that you want your mate to be to you. Then you become that person to them. Now, today we live in the information age. The internet has given us more information than most of us can have and ever handle. There's a strange situation that exists in society today, and it's this. We have more information about intimacy and marriage on the internet than ever before. We have more information, more people wanting to teach you about marriage than ever before, yet 60% of the people in Tulsa County divorce. 30% claim to be born-again Christian. What in the world is a 30% born-again Christian doing getting a divorce? Now, I'm going to say this right up front. I know there's people in this class that you've been through a divorce. I get that. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm not trying to berate you. My goal here is to state facts about what the Bible teaches about marriage, with the hope that whatever you've had to go through, that you're through it and we're moving beyond, and whatever God has for you now is what matters. Amen? Good. Now, today, here's your first fill-in. What we need to overcome is a spiritual what? Foundation for our homes that will work forever. Today, something has gone wrong. You can know God, and yet your marriage can fall apart if the foundation is not secure. Watch this. Being saved may not be enough to keep your marriage. Being saved may not be enough to keep your marriage. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then talk to the ladies in here whose husbands have divorced them and ran off with other people when they were saved, when she was saved, and they still. So being saved is no guarantee that you're going to do this. But if you are saved and you have the spiritual foundation that marriage intends it to be, then you know what? You got a fighting chance here to be what God wants you to be. Now, practicing biblical truth about marriage, there's your fill-in, is enough to save it and make it what God desires. So it's not enough to know biblical truth. You got to put it into practice. I tell people, you can come into my office for counseling. I can give you all the counseling you need to get down the road. But once you get it, you have to implement it into your life. You've got to implement Bible study into your life. If you're not in the Word of God every day, I'm just telling you, in time, it's going to crater. In time, you're going to get open doors, and the enemy's going to slip through those gates, and he's going to what? He's going to take you on a journey for 3-4 days where you won't like yourself, you won't like who you are, you won't like what you're doing, and that's his plan. Again, what we've been talking about for this whole year, his plan is to wear you down. And we open those gates. Now, here's where I'm going. In many homes, if we are honest, people outside the home get our very best. They get our very best. And our families get what? Leftovers. Our families get leftovers. You know, if I've been working all day long, okay, and I've been working on marriages and sharing about marriages and teaching some of these kids to come to see me about life, and I come home at 8 o'clock at night, and I sit down, and Lynette wants to what? Talk. You know, I don't want to talk. I've been doing this all day. And so I always have to be aware that Lynette, you know, she needs that time. So she'll come in and start talking to me, and I mute the TV. Sometimes. I mute the TV. Why? Because it takes about 3 minutes for her to talk to me. We have a 3-minute rule. And it takes about 3 minutes for her to tell me what it is she wanted to tell me. She'll do this 3 times a night. 9 minutes. Come on, 9 minutes. Even I got 9 minutes. It's one short of the maximum, but it is 9 minutes. Now, get this picture, okay? Remember, Peter was married and had a mother-in-law, which gives us tremendous insight why he's got all these anger issues. Chapter 3 is going to deal with women whose husbands are unsaved and the responsibility of the husband is not being fulfilled. Peter is talking to women whose husbands are what? Disobedient to the Word of God, don't you see? Now this gets a little tricky. Peter devotes more time in the passage dealing with wives than he does with husbands. Why? Well, that's part of it. You know, I think that's part of it, because they need more help, obviously. You know, you were doing so well today. But thank you. Thank you for making it that where I didn't have to say that. There's a reason. You're going to see it in a minute. The truth is this. Christian wives were experiencing a whole new situation in life. Up to this point, they were not considered equals. There's your fill-in. Or given respect for the roles God had given them. They were kept down. They had no little freedom. They had no freedom at all. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and makes the mate equal with the husband. Makes him equal. Okay? So Peter's got to spend more time with them for this reason. Peter devoted more time to them because they needed a new guidance on how to act and how to fulfill their roles. They needed new guidance. Okay? So Peter is going to give them a charge. Here's the charge he gives them. Ready? There's a call to imitate Jesus. That's the starting place. Not just for women, for all of us. That is the starting place. You got to learn to imitate. It says, in like manner, you women, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. That means subordinate yourself and being secondary to and dependent on them. Adapt yourselves to them so that even if anyone does not obey the word, they will be won by your godly life. Okay? Now, the NIV leaves out the words in like manner. The Amplified brings them back in. Because in like manner is seriously important here, because in like manner means go back to the last chapter in chapter 2, and the whole thing about chapter 2 was he was showing us the example of Christ. So carry that over, and he says, wives, imitate Jesus Christ. And he's going to say the same things to husbands in a few minutes. Imitate Christ. Now, he was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit found in his lips. When he was reviled or insulted, he did not revile back. He did not insult back. When he was made threats, he trusted himself and everything to God. He trusted everything to God. So, just here's the fill-in. Just as Jesus was submissive and obedient to the will of God, so Christian wives and husbands are called to follow the same example. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about this. You're called to live a life of submission. Women are called to live a life of submission. Okay? Here's what it means. Stand and tell them what it means. What does submission mean? Come on, you know this.
It means trusting that God is going to work out my very best.
Submission is, I believe God is working my very best through my mate. As we submit, it's not me, man, you, woman, submit, okay? By the way, I put that in practice the first year of our marriage. Me, man, you, woman, submit. It didn't work out very well. No? You know, I think what she said, well, when you start doing it right, I will submit. But until then, you're in for a long, hard ride, big fella. You know? And so what I had to learn was what? It's not me, man, you, woman, submit. It's not me, man, I make all the decisions. We submit one to another as we both submit to God. When Lynette and I make agreement, when we make decisions, if we are not in agreement, we don't make the decision.
That took us a long time to trust that.
It took you a long time to trust that. I was there from the beginning.
Well, but because women are called to submit, that's scary if you think your husband is making a wrong decision. So it took me a long time to really trust that
your husband never makes wrong decisions.
It helps me to explain it this way, that when I'm looking at Harry and his decision making, I'm seeing the Lord behind. I'm looking through Harry at the Lord saying, you'll protect him from making a mistake. Where used to, I felt like that was my role. If he was going to mess up, I couldn't trust him. He doesn't know. He might not make the right decision. But the closer I got to God, the more I spent time with the Lord and trusted his character, then it was easier to trust Harry because I knew the Lord is who I was really submitting to.
Okay.
Much of what we... Hey, this is important. So for those ladies in here, because some, I don't see some here, but some are married to lost men, or men at least who don't come to church and refuse it. You have to understand that your submission is really to the Lord Jesus, not to this man, but that God is working through him.
Yeah, we're going to get to all that in a minute. Much of what we learn in life today comes by the way of what? What's the word? Imitation. You're going to imitate whatever you want. You see. Whatever you see, you're going to imitate. Okay? It's fun watching my grandson Ezra imitate Andrew when he's doing stuff. It's fun when Andrew goes, uh-oh, and Ezra goes, uh-oh, you know, and he's imitating him. And it made me stop and says, You know, most of what I've learned in the faith life, I learned imitating what I learned from Manly Beasley. Whatever humility I may show by accident comes from what I learned from Ruff and Snow. When it comes to the getting into Word of God and getting a word from God about your situation, came from imitating Tom Eliff. You with me? And then it realized that if we learn to imitate the best role models, we have an ability to become better people and better achievers. But if we will imitate Christ, we can become something we never thought we could become. See, we can imitate people and do better. But when you're imitating Christ, you're going to do the best, don't you see? Now, your kids are going to imitate what they see you do. When Christians try to imitate Hollywood instead of heaven, trouble's going to follow. You with me? Trouble's going to follow. For husbands, if we imitate Christ, we will be able to blend strength with tenderness. Now, that's a tough one for guys. You know, we've been trained to be what? Strong, okay? But somehow we sometimes miss tenderness. You say, give me an example of that. How many of you husbands, if you'd be really honest this morning, have a tendency to have sharp tones toward your mate when things aren't going the way you think they should? How many of you guys are lying? Lynette said this morning, I couldn't find my alcohol that I spray my glasses with in the morning and keep them clean. And of course, Lynette is in a mode right now. Our house goes on the market Tuesday, okay? So, tomorrow. We got to clean it today and get it ready. They're taking pictures tomorrow. And then after they take the pictures, they'll put them on the internet, which won't be till Tuesday. Submit to me. I said Tuesday. Let me do that tenderly. I tenderly ask you to stop being wrong. Now, but you know what? So, there, you know, these people, experts come in and tell you how to fix your house up so people will buy it. You with me? So they gutted the house. I mean, they've gutted the house, you know? So Lynette's got everything hidden. So my spray stuff, you know, I couldn't find it this morning. And she put it underneath the cabinet where I couldn't know it was there unless I happened in there, you know. But the whole point was this. I had to what? Be tender.
But I didn't put it under there. You did.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Yeah. With all the other stuff that you
moved. No. Roles of a wife. Twice in the text, Peter calls the wife to be submissive. Here's what I wrote in. Oh my gosh, are you living in the dark ages, Brother Harry? People hold parades because of old-fashioned thinking like that. Get into the 21st century, man. The problem is we don't understand submission, and we already gave you the definition. It's this. It's not me, man, you, woman, submit. We submit one to another as we submit to God. And I told you, I try to get Lynette to do the same thing instead of learning this. For women, it means I am trusting God will use my husband to bring about my very best. There it is again. I'm trusting God's going to use my mate to bring about my very best. Now, it's a military term meaning to place under rank. In other words, God has put the situation in where men have a rank, women have a rank, children have a rank. Okay? You say, what is that purpose? And here it is. God has a purpose for everything a woman is to come under in order to what? God has, under rank is the fill-in. God has a purpose for everything. A woman is to come under in order to do what? To lift up. God knew exactly that. He brought you to put under so you can lift up. How much time do you spend lifting up your children? How much time do you spend lifting up what's going on? How much time do you have to spend lifting up your husband? So this lifting up part is this. So let's look at this one. What is your husband's greatest need that you meet or should meet as his wife? If you're meeting his greatest need, he'll get the respect he wants. Sex? I should have known. I should have known. You know, she's a female me. I should have known. Sex is not our greatest need. It's up there with eating and breathing. I mean, it's a biggie. Not our greatest need.
Praise.
Yeah, that's because you know I taught it to you. Praise. I need praise. Respect and praise are not the same thing. I don't care what you say. It's not the same thing. Because you can be praising me and still not respect me. You can be praising me, trying to lift me up, and still not respect me.
But you can also be respecting and not say it. And your ego needs to hear it.
My ego. Honey, I gave ego up 20 years ago living with you. Now, here's the fill-in. When you praise me, I'm the solution. When you don't praise me, I'm the problem.
What was the fill-in?
The fill-in is praise. Okay. Husband's greatest need is praise. Okay? When you praise me, I'm the solution. When you don't praise me, I'm the problem. All right, here's your great skill in marriage today. Ready? Next time he's doing something that's bothering you, here's what you say to him. Brandon, do you want to be the problem here or do you want to be the solution? And what's the answer? I want to be the solution. Here's how. Next time she's bent out of shape at you, here's what you say to her. Am I the problem here or the solution? You're the problem. I want to be the solution. What's that look like? What's that look like? In other words, if we're both wanting to be the problem and the solution and be the solution instead of the problem, then make that the focus. You know? Here's my struggle. You know, here's where you want to be the problem here, or you want to be the solution. I want to be the solution. Then you have to learn how to what? Listen and submit. And the faster you submit, the better life's going to be. Yes.
Another way to word that is, are you going to be right or are you going to be Christ-like?
See, I can be right and still be Christ-like.
Depends on what you're trying to be right about.
Well, that's why I'm always, I want to be the solution. I don't want to be the problem. Hold it. No, hold it. No. Let's play fair here. If we're going to play fair. With Lynette, you're wrong. Let me tell you how to be Christ-like is really where that story is going to go. Big difference. There's a big difference here. In the same way, your husband has to have the freedom to come to you and say, I have a really need. I have a big need in my life. And you're the solution. Do the math on that one. Now, when you praise and lift your husband up, you're giving him the opportunity what God has called him to be, and that's a spiritual leader. When you lift me up and you make me the solution, you're giving me the chance to lead. If I'm always the problem, I'm going to disengage from you. I'm going to disengage. Now, he said, you may be one without a word. Society has done everything it can to change the order God has given us. He's calling women to look like this. You are called to be a helpmeet. That's really what the word means, helpmeet. Okay? Now, the King James word for helper, companion, or mate is used here. Describes Eve before she was created. New King James, I think, is a better translation. Helpmeet means a helper comparable to him. So when it says helpmate, it's a helpmate meaning we are equal in God's eyes, comparable to one another. My best way of saying this is this. Lynette and I are not codependent. We're very independent. I mean, have y'all figured that out? We're very independent. But we, with each other, we have trained over the last 32 years to be interdependent on each other. Not codependent. You're my husband. I'll do whatever you say. No. By the way, forget that. Trust me. Forget that. That ain't happening. Ask your daddy. Now, but it really means this. You're called to come alongside as a comforter. Now, to be honest, some men, not all of us, some of us don't meet this criteria, are really high maintenance. I'm not one of those, but some are, okay? So a woman needs to come and what? Comfort us, okay? I'm more of the thinker-feeler than Lynette is. Lynette's a thinker-feeler-wanter who says, give me the facts, I'll do it. So she can work the whole cycle by herself, and we may teach that to you later. But the principle gets down to this. There are times when I need from Lynette comfort, not the 21 reasons why what I did wasn't the way I should have did it.
I would never have said should have did it.
Yeah, I know.
So the 21 reasons, yes.
All right, you're a comforter. Watch this. This is big. Comforter means this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes under, lifts up, comforts us, convicts us of sin, but also convicts us of righteousness, don't you see? So it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, knowing that, this is an important thing. You're not the Holy Spirit. It's just a picture.
Yeah, but you don't listen to him sometimes.
Well, he doesn't get a word in edgewise. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let. But you know, he's so much faster than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never gets to say anything to me because Lynette's already told it to me. Surely that doesn't happen in anyone else's home, does it?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have no clue. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay. Submission does not mean any of this. Here to fill in quick. It doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. Only men got that one. They all have opinions, okay? It certainly doesn't mean you're a doormat. Again, it's a sign of faith and trust in the role God has given you. A calling is to partnership. We are to be partners, not competitors. We are to be partners, not competitors, okay? You are called to love your husband, but let me make this clear to you. Okay, this is really important. Look at me. You are called to love your husbands. It is not coming in the form of a command. Husbands, you are commanded to love your wives. We're going to deal with that next week when we do husbands. You're commanded to love your wife, okay? I haven't gotten there yet. The command is to honor and respect your husband. Go, Lynette.
So explain that, though. Why is that not a command?
It is your nature as a woman. You played house ever since you were little. You wanted one man, one woman, one lifetime. God knew men, because we have wandering eyes, have wandering hearts, we needed the command to be loving our wives. We needed that command. You didn't need that command, but you did need the command to honor and respect because, well, when you start loving me the way Christ loved the church, I'll honor and respect you. No. You are called to honor and respect even if your husband is disobedient to the word of God, is what Peter's telling you here. Even if your husband's not saved, you still have to honor and respect him.
So
even if
God didn't have to tell us to love. That was natural for us.
Right.
But respect was not.
Right. Here's the next fill-in. Ready? The roles of a wife are not conditional on a husband's behavior. Well, when you start doing it right, I'll do it. No, it doesn't say that. Not all husbands play fair. These are guys who are disobedient to the world or to the word of God. They don't know the God. Because of that, Peter had to say, you are now equals, but you are commanded to honor and respect your husband. Well, equal doesn't mean what? Coming over him. Or, you know, it really means this, but your role is to come under and lift up in God's eyes. Now, Here's the next one. Don't substitute secret manipulation for a quiet spirit. Well, I think you're wrong, but if that's what you want to do, go ahead, but I think you're wrong. You know, what you're doing here is what? You're really manipulating. In other words, you still get an opinion, but you can't use guilt and shame, and it comes in several forms. Pouting, sulking, scheming, bargaining, nagging. Nagging is when you are reminding me of something you know I have not forgotten. Nagging. Comes in a form of preaching or humiliating your mate. Let me put it this way. Women who use manipulation are not trusting God. They're taking matters in their own hands. Security, then, submission is a mark of security. There's your fill-in, and faith. Security and faith. Okay? When you belittle your mate in front of other people and only he knows it, that's wrong. You cannot shame me into changing. You cannot yell at me into changing. The thing that made me want to change in our first couple years of marriage was she got her focus off of me. She put her focus on God, and I saw her going up her side of the triangle, and there was no way I was going to let her beat me to the top. No way. And so we both had to what? Okay, here's the next one, because we got to hurry, because they're going to be busting in here any minute. You are not responsible for your husband's life. You're responsible for your own spiritual growth. Quit trying to change him. Learn to trust God through your prayers. Watch this. This is a biggie. Put away your cookie cutter. I said that to Lynette. You know, I feel like you put your cookie cutter to me every day that first year. I hope you're happy with what you make when you're done, because I'm miserable. Put away your cookie cutter. Quit comparing your husband to other men wishing you were more like them. And there's where the enemy will attack you with something. Well, I wish you were more like so-and-so. I wish you were more like Brother Harry. No, you don't. Okay. So, what? Understanding your calling, real quick, because we're going to run out of time. You're a comforter, a completer, a companion. You're a comforter, you come under and lift up. You're a completer, you're the glue that holds the house together. You're a companion. You meet your husband's needs, not just physically, although that's important, but you're helping him by showing him in your needs how to be the solution instead of the problem. You're making him the solution, not the problem, okay? Fulfilling your roles will have a positive effect on your children. You're going to have a positive effect on your children when you are fulfilling your roles. Our kids will life out what they see you life out. Lindsay was so funny. I was talking to her. I said, hey, has Andrew started the garage yet? She goes, no. She goes, but he is just like Lynette. I said, how so? Once he starts, it's like, get out of the way, because it's got to all get done right now. You know? And I went, that is just like Lynette. Me, I would have said, they said, why is the garage not cleaned up? Well, because she hasn't done it yet. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, remember, you're a person of destiny. Again, God made you on purpose for a purpose. This is key. Get this. The hard things will further prepare you to carry out the plans God has for you both. The difficult people are there to teach you about yourself, and God uses them to ultimately stretch your faith. So the hard things in life, the difficult people in life that come into your world, God is using to stretch your faith. Don't you see? Now, I didn't have any room to put in final thoughts, so you'll have to write these in yourself. Okay? Here's the first one. Trust your faith, not your feelings. When it comes to fulfilling your role, trust your faith, not your feelings. Remember, if left to what you think and feel, who stays married? Nobody. No one will. You got to trust your faith. When things aren't going the way you want, you've got to trust your faith. Take, instead of manipulating and dog and your mate, take it to God and ask God to show you how you should be acting here today. Watch this. I'll say this further. When intimacy is difficult for you as a woman because we're not respecting our mate, learn how to go to God with that area and ask God to help you in that area to be able to respect him because of your relationship with God. And I know that's not always easy. Measure your value through the roles God has given you rather than the eyes you look through. When God set up biblical principles for us in marriage, he knew what he was doing. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. Lynette is so much stronger than me in some areas. And the areas where she's weak, I think I'm stronger. Don't you see? But it's funny how time goes by. You know, Lynette's faith walk, to me, is just as strong as mine is right now. And there was a time when there was a gap a mile wide. Fair enough. But not anymore, you know. Watch this. Hey, this works another way. Watch how it works this way. I used to be a slob. She'd get in my car. There'd be trash where her feet would go. Because every time I'm done, I just throw it in the trash. I'd throw it there. I'll get to it eventually. Not anymore. I've become a neatnik. Fair enough?
You know, here's the thing, Harry. It's like this. It took us a long time to recognize that God brought us together because you had puzzle pieces and I had puzzle pieces. And it took us both and contributing to make that what it was supposed to be. And I don't know, society now, even more than ever before, teaches us to be self-focused and interested in what we want and our ways right, and that the more we yield, the better we are, because the picture, you know, if Harry feels stronger about something than I do, I've learned to yield. If I feel stronger, then he yields. There's this rhythm and balance that has taken us a long time, but it's because we trust the Lord. And he's the one that's directing us to do this. And I wouldn't now. It's easy to trust. If Harry has a check in his spirit, I don't care if it's something I really... Oh, here's a good example. We went and looked at a house on Thursday night. You know, because we're moving. And on paper, I loved it. I said, oh, Harry, this is perfect in every way.
Her words were, before we ever got there, I want it.
I did. I said, oh, Harry, I want this house. And we walked in, and I still loved it.
They had a bedroom upstairs, no bathroom. So
that was not a big deal to me because it would have been a game room. So the thing is, here's the point. The point is we prayed on the way and we said, Lord, just, you know, lead us. Well, when Harry said, that was easy for me to say thank you, Lord, for the answer. That's not what we're supposed to do. There would have been time maybe 25 years ago where I would have tried to talk him into it. I might have been resentful. This was going to be perfect and you wouldn't do it, but no more.
We're going to run out of time. Hang on. I had to tell her before we got in the car, don't try to talk me into this because you've been doing it for the last 6 hours.
Sure, no, but I don't. but I don't, because the point is we've learned to trust the Lord. And if one of us isn't on board, we recognize that. That's a way.
God knows your needs and how to satisfy the desires of your heart. His wisdom is infinite and is guided by his love for us. The roles he has given us is that we might accomplish his will, his way, in his timing. So, remember, God is committed to the development of Christ's likeness in your life. That's still his goal for you. Unless you see everything is coming from the hand of God, in time the circumstances of life will always control you instead of the Spirit of God controlling you. Ladies, it really gets down to this. God knew what he was doing when he made you. He knows what he's doing in our lives right now and how he's perfecting that. And he also knows how he's using both of you to have an impact on a bunch of kids that are under you that one day could change the world because God changed you. Make your mate the solution, not the problem. Husbands, if you are the problem, seek your wife's counsel on how to become the solution. Don't take it personally. Realize that, you know what, she may give you some insight that you don't have or don't want. Either way, okay? All right, next week, husbands. So you guys better be here. Father God, thanks for today. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Thanks for loving us. And just thank you for the testimony of Chris and Cindy and what you've done in their life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. See you next week.